It's good to be in church. Amen. Turn to, in your Bibles, to Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And we're going to be in chapter 5. Oh, I'm in Ephesians. Galatians chapter number 5. Last Wednesday night, and it was a pleasure to be at the Libby Farm. It was last Thursday night. And I love that pavilion that you all have down there in that whole wooded area. It's very beautiful. You can't help but go there and not think about the Lord and how beauty His creation is. And I appreciate you guys opening up your home and doing that for us. A lot of work went in, preparation went into that. But we started in Galatians chapter 5 last week in our midweek service because I'm going to start a series here on Wednesday nights going over the fruit of the Spirit. And we have a couple folks who can only maybe come on Wednesday nights, and I was thinking what could help those who come on Wednesday nights. The fruit of the Spirit is what I believe God wants us to look at. Sunday mornings we're in Genesis, and Sunday nights we're in Revelation, both exciting books, and I think you'll enjoy this upcoming messages this upcoming Sunday if you can be here. If you can't be here, we do have our services recorded on our website, and you can listen to the messages maybe as you travel back and forth to work or whatnot. But Galatians chapter number 5, look at verse number 22, and we're going to look. Does this sound good out there, by the way? Everybody hear me? Not an echo? All right, verse 22 and verse 23, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." We looked at love last week. Notice that it says the fruit of the Spirit. It's interesting that it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. The fruit of the Spirit is. And that's is present tense. It's singular. And it's almost like it's saying here that when you have the Holy Spirit, you get all these different things. You don't get the Holy Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you don't just get love. It's a package deal. I like package deals. I look at my Burger King app and see what kind of a package deal I can get for my family and get cheaper food. Amen. Who likes package deals? I like going to Sam's Club and getting in bundles. Right? And one thing I love about the Lord is that He's generous. And He gives us a package deal here. We get all of these different fruit in our life through the Holy Spirit. I like how the order that God put them in, I think, is important. I think love is potentially the first fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us, because love is the fulfillment of the law. Law number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Law number two, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, we need godly love. If we really want to be able to love our wife or our husband, you want to be able to love them with a godly love. That fleshly, you know, a lot of fleshly love kind of is more based on lust. And you really want that spiritual love that's based on love. And it's great that when you walk in the Spirit, God gives you love. He helps you to love like He loves. Forgive like He forgives. And joy is the next one we're going to look at tonight. And I don't think that we look at joy enough. Brother Victor and I were watching a couple sermons this last week together. And it's a great preacher, great pastor, great church. And we watched, you know, we just kind of noticed as they were singing, we watched the whole service, we watched the choir sing. And it was interesting looking at the people's faces as they sang. And, either, you know, I looked at one lady and I said, either she has a really big burden on her heart, or maybe she's just embarrassed about being up in front of people, But she's not smiling. She wasn't smiling at all. And when you sing a song like, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." You need to have kind of like maybe a joyful look on your face when you sing that. You know, not in football style. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." You know. And we just kind of noticed we were watching people as they were singing. This is a church down south, and the camera would pan across the congregation as they were singing, and you could see, you know, two college students, a guy and girl. They were talking. They weren't there during the song service, you know. And you could see other people. And I don't know if a lot of the men were tired, but you just see the songs. And like one was a song about heaven, you know, maybe Beulah Land. I love that song. "Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be forever. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land." And you look at the congregation, and some of the men were singing like this. "Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand." Like they were bored out of their mind. Like thinking about heaven wasn't it making them very joyful? And let me just encourage you that while you're singing, to think about your facial expressions. As you sing in our congregation, let me encourage you that when we are singing as a congregation to sing, and most of you do, but you know, there's time for fellowship. We have handshaking time. Let me just say that during the song service time is time to sing. You know, that is a communication time as well, but you're not communicating with each other, you're communicating with the Lord. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let me just say, you singing and making that melody in your heart to the Lord should produce some joy in your life and bring a smile to your face. We're talking about joy. By the way, we're going to talk a couple weeks about joy, because as I started looking at joy, there's a whole lot more about joy in the Bible than I had even realized. And you know, some of the most sorrowful people I know in the world are Christians. But honestly, don't you think that the most joyful people in the world should be Christians? I mean, the most joyful and excited about life, because you know this isn't the end. This world's not my home. And knowing that trial and struggle that you have, yeah, it's a big one, but knowing that there's a God who's bigger than your trial. Christians, we should be joyful. And one thing that I'm discovering about joy is that joy doesn't happen on accident. For instance, the fruit of the Holy Spirit here comes from walking in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, this fruit is produced in your life. And so, when you go out to produce fruit in the field, there's a lot of work. But Elibu was showing me all of the fence posts that he had to put in, and I got tired after about 10. But there's rows and rows and rows, and putting up fencing around there to keep the bunny rabbits and the deer. And you have to prune the fruit, and you got to weed the garden. You know, it takes a lot of work walking in the garden to get fruit. Is that right? You know, you have to come to the garden alone spiritually to get some fruit. When you come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and you walk with him, that's how the fruit is produced. That's how the joy is produced. Let me say, if you're not joyful as a Christian, you're not putting the work in to be joyful. You have to desire to want to be joyful. Amen? And once you experience joy, joy is pretty fun. Smiling does not break your face. It doesn't. I remember being a young person being shocked to find out that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And let me just say, a lot of Northerners are great smilers on the inside. Just no one knows you're smiling. Bob Housenick, you're watching, you're one of them, amen? He smiles with his eyes. I remember being up here, one of the very first couple messages that I preached, a couple songs that we sang. We were singing for the Lord, making a joyful noise, and preaching my heart out. And everyone just kind of sat here, and no real facial expressions, just kind of looked at me. And after every message, before I went back to shaking hands at the back door, I'm like, man, I guess that was another egg. I don't know. I mean, it's just laid another egg. Let's drop the ball there, Rob. Good night, man. Pray more, apparently, because... And then everyone shake your hand. Pastor, that touched me so much. Oh. Pastor, that was so good. I was in tears. Oh. On the inside, I didn't see any tears on there. Pastor, that was good. I just made me so happy. It made me so happy. Oh. Okay. So I come to find out that Pennsylvanians smile a lot. It's just a lot of internal smiling. But look, we got to transfer that outward so people know what's going on inside, okay? It's all right to smile during the preaching. It's all right to smile during the singing. It's all right to smile. Amen? And joy should bring a smile to your face. Let's look at I'm going to read the definition of joy. You're not going to be able to look at it with me. The definition of joy from the Webster's 1828. Joy, the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition, means receiving, or expectation of good. That excitement of pleasurable feelings which is caused by success, good fortune. The gratification of desire or some good possessed, or by a rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire. So an expectation of possessing something we love or desire. Gladness, exultation, exhilaration of spirits, gaiety, mirth, festivity, as in the roofs will joy with joy resound. Happiness, felicity, a glorious and triumphant state, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, Hebrews 12:2, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. The cause of joy or happiness, for ye are our glory and joy. People can be your joy because they're saved. A term of fondness, the cause of you. Joy as a verb in transitive means to rejoice, to be glad, to exult. And another reason why I think it's going to take us a little bit, at least another message on joy, is because rejoy means to get joy again. Rejoy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, what we need to do? You know what Christian churches and Christians need to do? We need to rejoy. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We need to rejoy. Joy isn't just a one-time deal. Guess how many times you can have joy? And against such there is no law. You know what's great? You can have as much joy as you want. There is no joy counting, like calorie counting. Oh, you're too happy. You went over the joy limit. Now, sometimes maybe some people might be too joyful, but maybe you need to rejoy. Maybe they're not too joyful. Maybe you're not joyful enough. To rejoice, to be glad, to exult. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. Joy is a verb transitive, to give joy to congratulate, to entertain kindly, to gladden, to exhilarate, to enjoy, to have or possess with pleasure, or to have pleasure in the possession of. Now, let's look at the difference between joy and happiness, because if you notice, underneath joy, one of the definitions of joy was happiness. Okay, but here's a definition of happiness. The agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good. And notice, listen to this next sentence. That state of a being in which his desires are gratified by the enjoyment of pleasure without pain. You know, you can't be happy and be in pain. But you can be joyful and be in pain. That's the main difference. Happiness is a step down from joy because you can't be happy all the time. Never seen in the Bible where it says, re-happy. But it says all the time, rejoy. Why? Because you can have joy no matter what the circumstances are. You can't have happiness no matter what the circumstances are, because happiness is determined by the present. You won't be happy. I haven't met someone who's been happy because of the past things in their life, or happy because they're looking forward to something future in their life. They're happy because of what's happening right now. Now, you can be joyful looking to the past things of your life. You can be joyful looking to the future things of your life. And you can be joyful of things that happen in the present. Joy can be before, during, and after. But happiness generally is just then. Several differences between joy and happiness. You cannot be happy when you are in pain. But you can be joyful even though you are in pain. Joy brings a higher level of enjoyment than happiness brings. Again, happiness is determined by what happens in the present. Joy is not limited to that. You can be joyful because of the past. You can be joyful because of the future. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ as an example here. And as you look, just think about this example when it comes to joy. How about the cross? The cross was a painful thing. I'm not happy when I think about the cross. Thinking about what my Lord Jesus Christ went through doesn't make me happy. But it gives me joy to know He loved me that much. We can look in the past back at the cross and have joy looking to that event in the past because of what it means for us in the present. And let me say, those who look forward to the Messiah coming looked forward to Him coming with joy. Even though they're traveling, they don't know where they're going, but looking for a city whose builder and foundation was God, Abraham. Just go. I don't know where you're going. Just go. Modern day Abraham, Steve DeSantis. Just go. I don't know where. I mean, you don't know where, but I know where I'll take you. And when you get there, I'll tell you to stop at a campground in Georgia. And the rest is history. Abraham had joy. Even though he didn't know where he was going, he knew God was. And he had peace in that. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for what? The joy that was set before Him ahead endured the present, which was what? The cross. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Was Jesus happy with the cross? But there was something before Him past the cross that brought him joy, and there was joy to be experienced over there on the other side of the cross that helped him endure it. What was that? Well, I think one of the very first things that was set before him was the pleasure of the Father. Not my will, but thine be done. How many of us want to please our Father? And Jesus Christ, the perfect Son, wanted to please the Heavenly Father. And knowing that the Heavenly Father was pleased is one thing that would give Jesus Christ joy. Are you with me? The knowledge that he would defeat the power of death on the other side of the cross, the power of the grave, and defang Satan himself was a joyful thought. 1 Corinthians 15, look there. Verse 55 and 56. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. By paying for all of the sins of man, Jesus Christ took away the sting of death. And why would that be a joyful thought to him? Because if we could not overcome death, we could not be reunited with him. If you cannot overcome death, can you be resurrected from the dead? If you cannot overcome death, will you come out of the grave? So part of the joy that was set before him was he would be able to defeat the sting of death, sin, by paying for all sins. And so death's sting is taken away and we can rise again. That should bring joy. That's a joyful thought, that you're not going to lay in the grave forever. Amen. Look at Hebrews 12:11. I'm all over the place, just bear with me. It's all good. Good to see some smiles out there. Hey, you had a hard day. You got a lot of burdens. Your bank account is low. There are maybe some frustrations in relationships. Maybe there's some physical ailments or pain you're going through. None of that can limit you having joy if you choose to have some. And I'll tell you, there's been some times in my life when everything else was going wrong. Okay, when I got hit by the semi in 2004, okay, my body strength was kind of kaput. And broken bones all over the place. Obviously, I lost my job. I lost the apartment that I'd put a down payment on for me and my wife to stay in. I lost my car due to denting. Okay? My bank account had maybe $800 to $1,000 in it, and $600 of it went to pay Cobra insurance to help with my hospital stay that the hospital never even ended up using. But I would say one of the most joyful times of my life was when I'm laying there on the hospital bed after coming out of intensive care and I hear Jesus Loves Me starts to play. Tears of joy. I was at perfect peace. It didn't matter about all that other thing because God was there. Let me just say, that's where you got to get your joy. It's where you got to go to get your joy, folks. Look at Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for what? The present seemeth to be what? Joyous. You know, when you're getting disciplined, right around the time you're getting disciplined, you're not really joyful. Okay? You called at the carpet, you called at the principal's office, your father is or mother has disciplined you. It doesn't seem to be joyous at the present, but grievous. Look on, though, it says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. How many of you are thankful that your parents disciplined you? I'm 40, going on 41 years of age. I know, I'm ancient. But just the other day, I thanked my parents on the phone for disciplining me when I was a kid. And it gives me joy that I'm not experiencing heartache of some of my friends that they're experiencing because they were not restrained and held back and disciplined. They're now being restrained by the mistakes that they're made and, you know, and disciplined now. It gives me, I feel joy that my parents disciplined me. I'm not very happy about it, but I'm joyful about it. Do you see how you can look back for joy? And what do we have to look forward to that could give us joy? Heaven. There is so much to be joyful for. Again, there were times growing up I resented the discipline, but now it brings me joy to see what that correction helped me avoid in my life. What else was set before Jesus Christ? I believe one of the things, part of the joy that was set before him was us. Why did Jesus come down? Why did God send him down? Because God so loved us. We are his joy. Look it up on your phone because mine is doing Facebook right now. Verse, joy in the presence of the angels. KJV. Luke 10:15. All right, and then we'll go to our prayer time. Luke 10:15. Again, this could take a couple weeks. But you know what? If there's one thing that every Christian could use a good dose of is joy. It really is. Luke, what'd you say, 10:15? 15:10. Luke 15:10. All right, let's look back here at the analogy, the parable God's given. Verse 8, either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying what? Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When you got saved, there was joy in heaven. And notice it doesn't say, I say unto you that there is joy in the angels of God. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking here. So he's not yet died on the cross. He's not yet risen from the grave. He had not yet ascended up to the Father. So those who had died before the cross by faith are in paradise, which is still in the center of the earth at this time. So it's not the saints of old who are experiencing the joy. But there's joy in the presence of the angels. Well, who's in heaven? Who's up in heaven? You got the angels and you got God the Father. And God the Father, I believe this verse is saying, expresses his joy so that the angels of heaven know it when you got saved. And when we get to see somebody else saved. You know what else that means? That means we need to let others see our joy. Okay? We can't just be internal smiling Pennsylvanians. This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. How about with a smile? How about with some joy? It's okay. I know it hurts at first, some of you. You're a little, what are we doing, Pentecostal here? I mean, come on. Smiling in church? Come on, Pastor. Feels good. It feels good to be joyful. And I'm not saying let's just run around and smile like crazy people for no reason. I'm saying that when you think about who you are in Christ and that he loves you so much and that God died for you and that he's preparing a place for you and he'll never leave you nor forsake you and you're on the winning side, that brings a smile to your face and gives joy back in your heart. You rejoice. We need to rejoice every day. Amen. We don't want to regrump. We want to rejoice. And then when you go to work, man, why are you always so happy? You're annoying. Man, you're always so happy. God loves me. You know, that's a testimony. You can witness a whole lot better when you're joyful than you can when you're grumpy. I mean, why are you always so grumpy? Because God loves me. No, that doesn't go over well. Let's be joyful. I know it's hard when the burdens of your life are many, when the wounds are deep. It's hard to be joyful. It takes a little extra work. During that point in time in your life is the most time, the biggest, the greatest time you need joy. And if you're hurting tonight, guess what you need? You need some joy. Joy comes in the morning. That means the darkness is past. We need some more joy. Joyous Christians. And most of that is your thinking. Are you thinking about God? Didn't the Bible say he inhabits our praise? And when you start thinking about God and you start singing praises to him, Holy Spirit of God is encouraged within you, produces joy. We'll pick up here next week, but let's take a moment to pray and then we'll split up into some prayer teams. Our Heavenly Father, I have been very guilty of not actively thinking about being joyful. There are many times in my life I am joyful. There are many times in my life where I experience joy and I enjoy it so much and I enjoy the great feeling of pleasure I have of being right with you and knowing that you're there. I love the verse, Lord, in thy presence is fullness of joy. God, that's where we need to reside. I pray you please help us, Lord, to be joyful people. Help us, Lord, to rejoy in our life, to get the joy back, and do that, Lord, by starting to think ahead about what you're doing for us in heaven and what you have ready for us and how we get to be with you forever and never again depart from you. And by looking backwards in our life and seeing the cross and your death on it and what it means to us, God, help us to rejoy tonight. Help the hurting heart tonight, Lord. Help the one who's burdened tonight. They came in and they're weary. They may not think they can make it and go very much farther. Lord, just remind them how far you went for them. Remind them what you have in store for them ahead. That this world isn't their home, but just passing through, God, and help them to rejoy in their life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.